Blog Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Man, that's how you feel. On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, in trouble, fighting serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I guess I'm hosting by myself today unless DJ calls in and decides to help me out. So, this week, hey, Serena's going to talk with us. Yay!
Check that out.
So we're going to talk about correctional facilities today. And with a couple of things, I'm going to start off with, back in the 1980s, Minnesota moved ahead with a bold set of reforms that created one of the best correctional systems in the nation. So, with that said, we also have the second lowest population in the prison systems in the U.S., with only Maine being higher or lower than we are. What they changed in the 1980s was the determination of sentencing. Offenders serve the entire sentence with no time off for good behavior. The first two-thirds of the sentence is served behind bars in a correctional institution, and the final third is served in the community under supervision of parole officers. Offenders who violate the terms of their release may be returned to prison until their sentence has expired. And VJ decided to join us. Hey, VJ.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm coming to you live from Dakota County, where we have. I just got through visiting the inmates out here at Dakota County. And can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it was pretty amazing. We talked about quite a few things out here, but most of all, I got to see some old friends. I got to see some people that are near and dear to me that I'm tired of seeing them locked up. I'm tired of seeing them in jail. And I asked them to make a pledge to not come back to jail for me because I'm sure their kids are tired of seeing them go to jail. I'm sure that their grandmother, their grandparents, and the people in their family. So we came up with a 5-point plan, and I hope that they would use this formula for success. The first thing was change. Change to make a difference, because if you don't change anything, you'll keep doing the same thing. And then the second was a vision, to have a vision to do something different, but also look beyond your current circumstances and look for the future. Look for what God has in store for you for the future. And every day I wake up, I look at that, and I get excited about the fact that there is a vision for the future. And then the third thing is that plan, to put that plan together, to build a plan that will build on your future and on your vision. And then the next was to take action, because you can say you're going to do things, and every Monday morning we sit at a table and listen to people say, yeah, I'm going to do this next week. I'm going to do this next, and it's been next week for 2 years or 3 years. It's been next week we're going to do that. And so, but you've got to take action. And that last thing was God, to put God first. It should be first on the list, but it's that thing that sometimes change has to happen even before you get to God. And so God is important. So we went to the jail and we talked about being a chicken or eagle, and I think a chicken is not worth very much unless you cook it and they're eating it. And so an eagle is of value even when it's dead. The feathers of an eagle are worth a lot. And so it's important to think about our loved ones. And I, for those of you that have people that are incarcerated that you love, remember that the wrong that you do is not worth the time that you serve and the time that you're away from your family. It's not worth it.
Yep. Before you had called in, I was talking about the change that Minnesota had made in their prison systems in the 80s. about the determination of sentencing, and that basically they decided not to give off good time, or not to give prisoners time off for good time, but to instead to have them serve the first two-thirds of their sentence, and then the five with pull off. And in community corrections, in 1973, Minnesota legislators decided to reserve prison bed space for offenders who pose a threat to community safety. The Community Corrections Act allows for lower-level offenders to serve their sentences in county jails or on public service programs in their communities. The change in philosophy means that prison resources are reserved for those with previous criminal histories and or serious crimes against persons. VJ, we got another caller on the line. 0394.
Okay, well, let's listen to the caller.
All right, 0394, you are on the air, Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mama Trice.
Hey, good afternoon, Catrice. How are you?
I'm fine. So
hey, Mama
I was getting bits and pieces, but what is the topic today?
We're talking about the Department of Corrections and the prison system. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, you're talking about the prison system. And
we're talking about what we need to do to change it. Because, you know, I just left and I feel like we got to do more. We have to do more. Not only our men have to do more, but our women have to do more to help raise our families and keep our men and our women out of the prison system, because we're losing out on a really great future because of it.
Well, I can agree to that. I can agree to it. And also when the people come out of jail, you know, it's no help for them, and they are always marked with the number, the title that society has given them. But they all are good people, and it's some good deep down in them. But we just have to find out what is the cause of the hurt and pain that have led them to that, you know, to that place. And once they get in there, they do get mistreated. It's not nothing that we see just on TV, you know, mentally and physically, they get mistreated. If it's not by an inmate, it's a guard, someone that has a bad day, it's depressing. And our children are going to jail. We have a lot of babies that are in jail, and they are damaged by being there.
You know, I got a question for you, Mama Trice. You know, Some young people, even some girls, think that it's a badge of honor to go to jail. But that is so untrue. And why do our kids believe that?
Because that's a sign of being tough. That's a sign of a lot of us can't do it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the one that's going to do it. And I'm not scared of nothing, too much of nothing. But I'm not going to jail for no one. So I do watch my conduct. And a lot of folks just don't understand. A lot of kids are playing Russian roulette with their lives. A lot of kids are laying down their lives for stupidity. So these young girls, they just don't know no better. You know, I put up on my Facebook page two babies dancing. The dancing was so bad that it just broke my heart. And the comments, there were so many comments, but they got that from other mothers getting up there on Facebook doing the same thing, and big sisters. And the only thing you can see out of that is jail. You can see them being raped. You can see them killing somebody. You can see them stealing for somebody. You can see all of that in them babies, and they ain't nothing but babies.
Well, you know, one of the things, go ahead.
I feel for these kids. because a lot of us sit up and we talk about it, but we're not being about it. You know, and it's really sad when we are allowing our children to do what they want to do. You know, we let them talk, say anything. Well, say what's on your mind, baby. No, my kids can't say what's on their mind because what's on their mind is not agreeable to me. So we have to get that understanding. It's impossible to befriend our children because just like my mother told me and her mother told her, your babies are going to make you cry. And our kids suffer for the things that we have done in this life, too.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question, one more question for you, Mama Teresa, and then we'll go back to our co-host. But what effect has the correctional system had on, impact has it had on your family and your life?
Well, I just, champion name, okay, Generation Curse. Our elders, we have to be responsible of our children. And our kids are going to jail. Our kids are known for stealing. Our kids are known for hurting people. And we do that very well, you know, and our kids are going to jail. I have a nephew that's in jail right now, and he's doing 8 years. Well, he done did 9 because of his behavior in jail. And by the time he get out in 2015, he will have been done did 10 years because of his behavior. He got worse when he went to jail. He got more bitter when he was in jail. He did more fighting in jail than on the streets. He that gang thing in jail, and he wanted to run a gang in jail, and he wanted to be the big man in jail. So it has done a lot for me to where I sat down and I sat back, and I'm working on the ones that's out here, my family that's out here, and so they won't get to that point. You know, I just believe in the parents and the preachers in the family and the teachers in the family, get your little cousins, get your little nieces all together and hold a family day where you can ask them, bring your progress reports to the table. Let's see how you're doing. Let's see if I need to get out here and go to your schools and talk to your teachers, because we might have some mothers that just can't do it. But we have other folks that's in the family that can. And if we don't help our own, we ain't doing nothing out there. So don't think you're doing nothing out there, politicians.
Well, that's absolutely right. And, you know, somebody in the family had to step up. What can we say about our elders? Because our elders are tired. They're worn out. They're tired, and it's up to us. It's up to Mama Treese. It's up to Erica. It's up to VJ. It's up to us now. We have to pick up the mantle and began to get out here and fight for these elders, because I look at them now and they're worn out. I look at Mama Champion and I see she's tired. I see she can't hold on no more. You know, Mama Teresa's got to take the mantle.
But it's okay because she can pass the torch. That's all, just pass the torch. And she have passed the torch. And that's the reason why on my sick day, I'm going to do what I need to do to get the job done. God is allowing me to do what I need to do. And I know how to pass the torch. And that's good. I'm going to pass the torch to my daughter because I'm out here to teach her how to live in this world.
Well, thank you so much, Mama Teresa. Erica, let's go back to the,
yes,
do you have some more statistics for us?
I do have more statistics, and I also have Michael sitting next to me. So
okay. Well, that's great.
He's more than welcome to talk to. Minnesota started innovative programming, and since then, 95% of all offenders will eventually be released back into the community. Minnesota's Department of Corrections does all it can to help offenders transition back into the community as productive citizens. Chemical dependency treatment, education, vocational training, and even classes in cognitive thinking form the foundation of programming regimen that is designed to keep offenders from committing new crimes after. 76% of Minnesota offenders will remain free of a new felony conviction and out of prison for at least 3 years after release. Well, it doesn't guarantee that they'll stay free of crime, but most of them stay good for at least 3 years, if not more.
Okay.
And I don't know if you caught the fact that the other thing that I had said before, I don't know if you had called in after or before, but we have, other than Maine, we are the lowest population, have the lowest number of inmates in prisons. We're the second lowest. Maine is the first.
But I think if you compare it to the number of African-American men that are incarcerated, that number might not look that well.
Yeah, you start getting into, you know, racial discrepancies and stuff like that, I wasn't able to get as in-depth as I would have liked to with the meeting and everything I had today. But, yeah, a lot of the numbers that I got for people that are in there are more male versus female and actual offenses that they commit.
So one of the things I found out from my work in the community is that they study everything. One of the things they haven't studied as well yet is the number of African-Americans and offenses and some of the things they'd be offended for and some of that they're using money to study certain things. And we've been fighting from the legislative standpoint about trying to figure out more about what are we doing for the African-American, the people of color, Native Americans, Asians, and the rest, where instead of just looking at numbers as just black and white, really, what is happening? How many of them are getting more time? Who's getting? See, they don't break it down. If you ask how many people got the same offense but got only 2 years for cocaine, African Americans may have got 10, 8 to 9 or 10 years. We're not breaking it down like that. And we need to know that so we can fight for their freedom in a better way. So we can look at that and say that African Americans are being targeted. Now, Michael's sitting there and he's going through the situation. Michael, tell me a little bit about how did being incarcerated change your life?
Well, it changed my life a lot, you know, because before I went to prison, you know, I was a loose cannon, you know, I didn't care about nothing, you know, but that time me having to sit down, you know, it gave me a lot of time to learn myself, to learn why I do the things that I do. You know, so, you know, it kind of like, you know, I don't want to say it made me a man, you know, but it grew me up, you know, because when I went to prison, I was still a kid, you know, and when I got out of prison, you know, I grew up a lot.
What can you share? You know, did you get a badge of honor? Did people like look at you like with more respect after you came out of prison? Like, dude, you did a bit, man. You the man. Did you get that kind of recognition?
No, I really wasn't looking for that, you know, I mean, because it ain't nothing to be proud of, you know, so, I mean, no, I didn't, people, all of my homeboys, they was just like, man, you was gone for a minute, man, you came back, man, you big now, man, you know, but I don't know.
What did you miss out on besides some Christmases and Thanksgivings and birthdays? What are some of the things that really impact you? Like, dang, I really miss. What were those things that you missed? And when you think about it, it hurts you.
You know what? When I think about it, it hurts me, man. You know, I miss my daughter's life. You know, I mean, she doesn't know her dad. No, you know, when I went to prison, she was a baby. When I came home. She's like a little baby grown woman. She got breath now. You know, I mean, I miss that, man. I missed a very huge part of my daughter's life, you know, and a real huge part, you know, and it's like she doesn't even know me. I don't know her. You know, so now all I'm doing right now is trying to get that relationship back with my daughter, you know, so she knows her dad, so she knows what her dad likes. So she knows what her dad doesn't like, you know. That's the biggest thing to me that I miss.
You know, I see dudes, man, throwing up their signs and saying, man, they gangsters for life, man, no matter what. You know, they always gonna represent. How do you feel about that?
Say that again.
I see guys throw their signs up, man, show their tats and stuff, and say they're gangsters for life. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that right there, that's a joke, you know, because really you're a gangster for life. But you think about it, how many of your boys are really gonna have your back when you really need it, you know, when you're in prison, ain't none of your guys really gonna help you. You know, you might get one or two that really help you that stay in your corner, but when you're gone for a long time, man, out of sight, out of mind. People don't think about you. They don't care. You might come across their mind every now and then, but all of that gang banging, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, because it's like it means nothing. It's gonna get you nothing, and it's gonna lead you to nowhere but to prison or dead.
How many years did you do?
I did 6 years.
You did 6 years, and if somebody would ask you, what's the biggest lesson you learned while being incarcerated, what would you say?
The biggest lesson that I learned?
Yes, sir.
The biggest lesson I learned is, man, I don't never want to go back to prison because I miss my family.
Well, that's good. I appreciate you being on this. Mama Tree still on the line?
She is not. We do have a couple extra people listening, though, so if you want to pipe in and let us know your opinion, just hit one and we will let you speak.
That's right. You listen to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Erica, and producer. Erica is your host and your producer. I'm calling in. I'm VJ Smith. I'm the national president for Mad Dads. The question I was going to have for Mama Treese, if she was on the line, was, what words of encouragement and what could you say to those mothers that are out there that are struggling with folks and families being incarcerated, because it weighs a toll on the mother. You know, I talk to so many mothers and they tell me secrets. They tell me things that they don't want these kids to know, or they don't want their son or grandson to know, that things that really hurt them, how bad they feel, how much pain they have. They want, when you're incarcerated, they want you to think everything's fine. But things are going horribly wrong. The kids are going in a different direction. Things aren't going right, and they try to hold on to make it shine. I was just at the jail just now watching kids that were acting crazy. The mother said, I'm going nuts without this man in my life. It's these kids are, and Erica, you can kind of, you know, I mean, your kid's father was not even in jail. He just wasn't in the house anymore, and things went crazy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just imagine when somebody's in prison and you can't even get them to call or come over because it's impossible, then those parents really go crazy. And so I just wanted to see if I could get some words of wisdom of being a mother, though, Erica, being a mother. And what advice do you give to other mothers that are struggling with this situation?
You know, I have a niece, and I love her to death. She's 4 months older than, or younger than my oldest one is. So she is about 5 and a half, too, and probably about 2 or 3 years ago now, it may have even been close to 4, her father went to prison. He called himself going into a house and robbing somebody and ended up with a gun on school property because he was trying to run from the police and ended up hiding on school property, got himself 7 years. And she asks about her dad all the time. And unfortunately, there are mean, horrible, evil little kids that have come up to her and just flat out told her, you don't have a dad, because they've never seen her dad. And she's cried to her mom, she's cried to, you know, her grandmother and a lot of different people about how, I don't have a daddy, where's my dad? And, you know, and she understands where he is, she understands she can't see him, but she doesn't get what happened. She doesn't know why he's not in her life all the time. And, you know, I just tell my one of my best friends, I just tell her mom, I say, you know, this is something that you're handling really well, because she really does. She talks to her daughter about her father all the time. She never speaks horribly about him or anything like that, but she explains to her, you know, daddy will be home in a few years and he'll see you, you know, when he comes out and whatnot, but she refuses to bring her up to the prison because she doesn't want her daughter in that, you know, environment, to see her dad in that environment.
Wow, that's serious business. And as you can see on Blog Talk Radio, Mad Dads, National Blog Talk Radio, we're listening to some of the reasons and issues that we have in corrections, and we're talking to Michael. He's on the line with us, along with Erica, Mama Treese, VJ Smith. We're all on the line, or we're on the line. Mama Treese is off now, but we're talking about the impact and effect that it has on us. And I'll tell you, I don't know how much time we got left, or Erica, make you tell me how much time we got
4
left.
4 minutes. 4 minutes.
4 minutes. In the 4 minutes, I want to do two things. One thing, I want to hear a little bit of the song that is going to be one of our songs. It's going to be on our album, our LP that we're going to do, songs about violence in our community and how we stop it, by a young lady. Just a little bit of that song, not the whole thing, but a young lady. And then we're going to hear some final comments from Michael, Erica, and myself.
All right. Here we go with Lyric Lachey, Out of Control.
Out of control. Yes, we're getting out of control, but it's going to take us to change it. Erica, you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want to thank y'all for listening to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to give a few words of advice. Michael, what kind of words of advice do you give to our listeners?
This one person has something quick to say. 7313, you got about 15 seconds. Hello?
This is Daniel in Anoka, VJ.
Hey, how you doing? Go ahead. Tell us what you need to say.
I would like to see the police department get back involved. And I agree in public humiliation instead of incarceration with the young ones, because they get so much influence from the older ones to keep your mouth quiet, and it takes them years to find out that cola silence means nothing. When they wear a shirt, police cadet or fire cadet, then the older ones will leave them alone thinking that they might say something. And that's all that I need to say.
Hey, thank you very much. Erica, go ahead, your last comments.
I am just hoping and praying for eventually one day we might only need one prison per state for the really bad
all
people.
All right. Thank you very much. Michael.
Yeah.
Last words.
Man, life is more than nonsense, man. Prison it's a no. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that you can do in prison, man, but get told what to do. Get told when to get up. Get told to when you can go eat, man. You don't want to do that.
You listen to Blog Talk Radio Live. Take it away, Short Body.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto and expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Bad dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fighting serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love on the...